From the WSMR studios in Sarasota, Florida, I'm June LaBelle, and it's time for June LaBelle's Musical Conversations. June LaBelle's Musical Conversations is a monthly special that brings you classic music and classic conversations with artists and performers. Our musical conversations take you inside the music so you may eavesdrop on some of the most entertaining and enlightening talk in the field. And since all our conversations are unscripted, you never know what someone may say. This past winter, Sills Music Monday series in Sarasota had a reunion of the musicians from the legendary 7th Army Symphony Orchestra. This ensemble, which never performed in the United States, existed for 10 years playing great classical music for the European civilians in an effort to show them that America had culture. About 50 of the musicians and their wives visited Sarasota along with three of the conductors, the founder, Samuel Adler, John Canarina, and my husband, Edward Alley. Just this past month, Ed and I sat in our living room and we talked about the orchestra that came to be known as Uncle Sam's Orchestra.
The 7th Army Symphony was an organization that was really formed by the United States Army, sort of by accident, and it really served a great public relations function for the Army during the period starting in 1952.
Where? In the United States? I mean, how did it work?
It was first formed in Germany by Samuel Adler, who was a corporal, who at that time was a chaplain's assistant, and they wanted to have better relations between the townspeople and the military, so he suggested a performance of Messiah at Christmas time using a local choir and some musicians they put together, and it was a great success, and the military, of course, said, oh, that was wonderful, do it again next week. And he said, it's not done that way, but they did do a program at Easter, and one by one, things kept falling together, and the brass found that it was really very important, and so ultimately, it resulted into the 7th Army Symphony.
When you say the brass, I assume you mean the hierarchy of the Army and not the brass of the orchestra?
Well, yeah, this was the general clear up to the commanding general in Europe, and later even General Eisenhower at that time endorsed the orchestra.
Rimsky-Korsakov's Dance of the Tumblers, conducted by our guest, Edward Alley, with the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra in 1959. It's the perfect accompaniment to our musical conversation because this ensemble literally tumbled through Europe, entertaining the civilians there and convincing them that American soldiers had culture, Ed Alley explains.
Well, they weren't thinking very nice things about it because the Army was an army of occupation, and it was just beginning to change over from an army of occupation to a status of forces in NATO. And when you have a big battalion, even larger than that, of men of maybe 40,000 soldiers stationed outside a little town of around 10,000, the reputation was not too bad because there was a lot of drinking and carrying on and chasing Fräuleins and everything else, and there was a real need for a public relations venture, and like we've all found out in the many years, music helped.
Thank you. So, Ed Alley, you were one of the conductors after Samuel Adler, and who else conducted the orchestra?
There were quite a few people, some of whom had really outstanding careers. Henry Lewis, who later conducted at the Metropolitan Opera and was also known as the, he married Marilyn Horne, a dear friend, and he was a wonderful conductor. Kenneth Skirmerhorn, who later conducted the American Ballet Theater and the Milwaukee Symphony, and many others who went on to other careers in either conducting or administration, such as I did. It was the orchestra that nobody knew. It was a very big secret. However, there were some articles that were published on the orchestra from time to time, and we had some wonderful guest conductors, including Antal Durante, who came over, or Dorothy, excuse me, who came over to conduct a concert at the Stuttgart Liederhalle in 1957. And it was just, it was well publicized, including concerts at the World's Fair, which I was privileged to conduct. And we went to Berlin several times, and actually they toured all of the NATO countries during sometime during their 10-year existence. Thank you.
the well-known Rakoczy March from Berlioz's Damnation of Faust in an historic performance in Stuttgart by the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Antal Doraty. Now, that was conducted live and recorded live in the fall of 1957. We're paying tribute to Uncle Sam's Orchestra, also known as the Orchestra No One Ever Heard in America, and our guest is one of its conductors, Edward Alley. We'll continue with more music and conversation on classical WSMR right after this. I'm June LaBelle. Ed Alley is our guest today on June LaBelle's Musical Conversations, and we're talking about the legendary 7th Army Symphony Orchestra, which played for 10 years only in Europe to prove to the civilians there after the Second World War that American soldiers had culture. Ed and I were married 7 years ago, and although I'd heard of this orchestra before, I've become a devoted fan since then. We recorded this program sitting in our living room, with Ed looking back at his time as one of the conductors of the orchestra back in the 1950s, and how he got there in the first place.
I had just finished basic training. I had enlisted because I felt I wanted to do something I liked for 3 years rather than just two, and I had enlisted for counterintelligence work of all things, and was in Baltimore. I had subsequently found out about the symphony, and after I found out about the symphony, I wrote to see if I could get into it, and I was at Fort Holabird, I think, in Baltimore, when I got a call one morning from the sergeant major's office, and he called me over there, and he said, "Private Alley, I have orders to send you to Germany to join some sympathy band." And I knew what that meant, but I just sort of swallowed and said, "Well, sir, whatever my country wants me to do," and I was off to Germany.
Thank you.
Ed Alley, along with a very illustrious group of other conductors over the years, was really lucky to have been part of the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra. We just heard him with the 7th Army Symphony in the overture to La Forza del Destino in a recording made in 1958. But it wasn't just the chance to conduct a major orchestra featuring some of the finest instrumentalists in America at the ripe old age of 22. It was also the traveling around Europe. It gave these wonderful young musicians a chance to see the world and get the kind of experience that would follow them for the rest of their lives.
You learn a lot about music because a conductor learns so much from his musicians, and you learn all the way. No one does anything alone, and you just learn, and it just all sort of comes together as it does with everything that we do is based on what we do before.
And you went on to the New York Philharmonic. Edward Alley was the manager of the New York Philharmonic, and you also took all of that information and everything that you did, both on stage and off stage, to become the head of the search committee for that came up with Annutale for the Sarasota Orchestra.
That's true. Everything is piled on top of everything else, and it works. After I finished the orchestra, I was conductor and manager of the Touring Golovsky Opera for about 10 years, doing 18 tours, and worked with such people like Cheryl Milnes and Justino Diaz, and we all had our first jobs together. But it did work together, and you have a wealth of experience, then it's nice to be able to use it, and being able to chair the search committee and lead the search for the Sarasota Orchestra, which ended in the engagement of Annutale, is a wonderful thing. We're very proud of her.
Amazing how leading a major symphony orchestra in Europe back in the 1950s has had so much influence on what's happening today right here on the west coast of Florida. But Ed Alley and the musicians of the 7th Army Symphony also got to see a lot of Europe during their tenure with the orchestra.
We were in Passau, which is a beautiful town down in where the three rivers come together, the Ilz, the Inn, and the Danube, to make the Danube that flows down to Vienna. And some of the guys had been there before, and they said, in the cathedral here, there is the largest Baroque organ in the world. Let's go. And apparently someone knew the organist, and so the recording engineer and myself and about three of the musicians met in the loft, and they played the Purcell or Clark trumpet voluntary, just sort of spontaneous and for the moment. I was not doing anything except standing there, just awash in the beautiful sound.
Were there any people in the cathedral itself?
You know, I really don't know, because we were way up in the organ loft, and I was so taken with that huge five-manual organ, which is the largest Baroque organ in the world, at least it was then, that I have no idea who was there.
The Trumpet Voluntary, which has been attributed to Purcell but was most probably written by Jeremiah Clarke. That performance was recorded in the historic church in Passau in 1958. The players included trumpeters Bill Scarlett and Bob Bogenschutz and trombonist Porter Poindexter. Now, if these names sound a little familiar to you, it's because they all went from the Seventh Army Symphony to illustrious careers. For example, Bill Scarlett became assistant principal trumpet with the Chicago Symphony for many years. I think it was around 33 years. And Porter Poindexter went on to play dozens of Broadway shows. They were young men back then, kids from major conservatories and American orchestras, only in their early 20s, in Uncle Sam's orchestra. Ed Alley was one of the conductors, and he remembers it fondly.
First of all, we played 99% of the time for the civilians because it was a public relations effort and a music-making effort for the civilians to show that we could, American soldiers could do something other than drink beer and chase fräuleins. I will not testify to what went on after the concerts, but nevertheless, it was there. And the reception was absolutely wonderful. We played in places from the Free University in Berlin, to the Big Hall in Hamburg, to former livestock exposition halls in the little towns between little town Wertheim and Weilheim and all sorts of heims between Munich and down in Bavaria. The people loved it.
You mentioned Sam Adler, who was the founder and conductor for a while, and he's gone on to be one of the great teachers at various schools in the United States and also a composer. You mentioned Kenneth Skirmerhorn and Henry Lewis. Who was the conductor before you got there?
Ling Tung, who was a violinist who had played before that time in the New Orleans Orchestra and possibly in the Minnesota Orchestra. He was a wonderful conductor. He had, during his reign, I would guess reign or tenure and enlistment, whatever you want to call it, he probably had, the orchestra was at its largest and probably about its best. It was about 85 to 90 strong and was playing. That was the orchestra that Dorati conducted in the Lederhalle, and then Ling went on to later, you probably heard of, I know he played violin in the Philadelphia Orchestra, and he went on to form a festival up in the northwestern part of the country. I can't remember, but he was very good. Unfortunately, he's not here with us anymore.
Ling Tung was the conductor back in 1958 for that performance of the opening movement of Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony. That's the Symphony No. 4. All these historic performances, performances you're hearing only here on Classical WSMR. Our guest on this edition of June LaBelle's Musical Conversations is my husband, Edward Alley, who was with Ling Tung, John Canarina, Henry Lewis, Samuel Adler, and Kenneth Skirmerhorn, music director of the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra. We'll continue with more historic performances in just about a minute. I'm June LaBelle. For this edition of June LaBelle's Musical Conversations, we've invited you into our living room for an intimate chat between me and my husband, Ed Alley, as we talk about his time with the legendary 7th Army Symphony.
After I finished conducting the orchestra, I still had a little time left in the service, and I did some recording for the orchestra as engineer, and we did some recordings together. He was later Bernstein's assistant. Right after I got back, and with him also was a very young man that, with John, who was a little bit better known than John was, unfortunately now at least, his name was Seiji Ozawa. But John went on to conduct the Jacksonville Symphony and then had a wonderful career at Drake University as head of orchestral activities. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Music conducted by John Canarina, one of the conductors of the 7th Army Symphony Orchestra. John went on to be an assistant conductor of the New York Philharmonic. We've been looking back at the legendary 7th Army Symphony Orchestra on this edition of June LaBelle's Musical Conversations. All the music you've heard was recorded in the 1950s by this very special ensemble that never played here in the United States. They performed in various parts of Europe for 10 years to prove to the Europeans, the civilians there, that American servicemen had culture. And then, as you've heard, many of them went on to become important orchestra players in the world's greatest ensembles. Edward Alley was one of the illustrious conductors, along with John Canarina, Kenneth Skirmerhorn, Henry Lewis, Ling Tung, and the founder, Samuel Adler. We jokingly call the ensemble the orchestra no one knew in America, but they knew them in Europe. And you can get to know them even more by going to their website, which is 7, that's the number 7, ASO.org. The number 7, ASO.org. They have music and photos, and you'll even catch up with the remaining musicians when they were here in Sarasota recently for a very special reunion and program on SILS Music Mondays. Thanks so much for joining us on Classical WSMR. I'm June LaBelle.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed any of it or would like to hear it again, podcasts of all of our programs can be found at WSMR.org. This is show number 206. The program is written and produced by June LaBelle and Ed Alley. I'm Mark Hayes, the technical producer. The program originates at the Performance and Broadcast Studio of WSMR in Sarasota. Thanks again for joining us. We hope to see you next time.